Well, we're going to get a little serious here, but not too serious. Holidays are a time where a lot of people feel like they should be having a great time, and sometimes they aren't because they are grieving. They're thinking about loved ones who have passed away, children, spouses, parents, friends, sometimes even pets. And you lose that ability to celebrate, and holidays will magnify those losses and make you feel sadder and lonely. Here to discuss this issue is Ada Pigeot, who is with Beverly Therapist. She's a licensed clinical social worker, graduate of University of Chicago. Among many other things, Ada counsels adults experiencing loss of spouse in a wide variety of circumstances. Welcome to the show, Ada. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Karen.
Is it true that during the holidays you have a lot of people come to you because of these issues being magnified?
Definitely.
Yes, go ahead.
Definitely. You know, there are people who are already in treatment with me and who want to come to talk about their losses at this time of the year. And one of the things that are very difficult for people during this time of the year is the fact that there has been a breakdown in tradition. And so, you know, people are accustomed to celebrating in a certain way year after year, you know, fortified by years of holding on to that foundation, to that tradition, and they find it very hard sometimes to adjust to these changes.
And Ada, I'm going to just kind of a full disclosure here for listeners that have known me. My husband of 21 years died suddenly about 7-8 years ago, and my current husband also had a wife who died. He was with her for 40 years. So we met each other on a blind date, and things have been wonderful ever since. But we both have experienced loss and experienced grief. And one of the things that you mentioned that really resonated with me is the tradition, because of course you miss that person, you miss the essence of the person and the friendship and the companionship, but you miss the traditions and you miss the getting up in the morning and sharing coffee and going to work together or whatever it is you share. That routine becomes disrupted, and that adds to the problem, not obviously.
It does. And the routine is what saddens people. You know, I remember last weekend I have a client who lost her spouse, and she said Thanksgiving morning, I was very sad because I woke up and I'm not cooking. And I'm so accustomed to cooking for 15 years. So the reality changes.
So if you're going to counsel people, if there are people out there who maybe are going through a first or a second round of holidays and they know that this is going to be an issue, what are the things you tell people to do, and what are the pieces of advice you can give to people?
The number one I say is to set boundaries. And that means including having self-care and self-compassion in this time of the year, and while grieving, because grieving is hard work, it's very stressful, and for some people, there's not a lot of support to be had. And so self-care is number one, and setting boundary is a part of that self-care.
Be specific when you say that. What would you say a boundary would be, for instance?
Okay, for instance would be if you don't feel like cooking, don't cook. Go out to eat. There are many places now that are serving buffets. For example, if you are invited to go to a dinner somewhere, set boundaries. Maybe you can only stay for half an hour.
Okay. And this is always a question that I dealt with during my grieving process, and that is, I always felt better when I got out and did something, but I didn't want to go out and do something. So people would drag me out, and I would resent them for it, but then I would thank them for it. So how do you tell people just go with how you feel and stay home, and or do you tell them to kind of push themselves and maybe, like you say, not stay for 10 hours, but stay for just an hour, or tell yourself, I can leave at a time that I feel comfortable?
Yeah, I tell people that when you're grieving, hard and fast rules don't apply.
Right.
And I also tell them don't do what I tell them to do. I tell them do it the way Frank tells them to do. You know, Frank Sinatra sings that song, do it your way, you know. I did it my way. And so I think the one thing to honor is self-care.
And when you say self-care, tell our audience what that means.
That means get enough sleep, continue to put good things in your body, continue to exercise if you can. continue to have conversations with people who care and can give you good guidance.
Okay. And at what point do you does grieving? Now, grieving, if the word grieving is kind of, it's an all-encompassing word, but there's pain and then there's grieving. And grieving is a process, to me, that doesn't necessarily stop. Am I right? If someone in your life dies, you never really stop grieving for them.
I think that's right, Karen. I think that's very right. And the one thing that I want to emphasize here is that grief is a response to love and to the loss of the loved ones. And the one thing with that is that grief is the response when we lose someone significant to us. And in the grieving process, there are a few components to take into consideration. And one of it, like you correctly mentioned, is the emotional component. And so you feel saddened by it. You feel sharp, throbbing pain sometimes. And then sometimes it also involves physical component as well. So, you know, it's not uncommon that doctors would find that people who are grieving would arrive at the hospital having symptoms like chest pains or feeling hollow in their stomach or having a constriction in their throat. And it's also cognitively based. Grief is also involved cognition, meaning that you can't believe that your loved one just passed away, you know. You are preoccupied with your loved ones.
And makes it hard to concentrate at
night
times.
And also grief involves a behavioral component, which means that sometimes you get into a mode where you just prefer to isolate yourself.
I'm going to give out the numbers here. If anyone has any questions or comments for Ada, I'm sure we would like to hear them. 981-7200. Call us at 981-7200. And right before we go to the break, I just want to... One of the things you said was it's a response to love. Grieving is a response to love. And I suppose, and we talked about this a little before the show, if you didn't love someone, you probably wouldn't be feeling this bad.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how that makes you feel better when you're going through it, but I think it's interesting to recognize that it's part of the process. If you love somebody, whoever you love right now may pass away before you, and you have to come to grips with the fact that part of that is going to be very, very sad at some point, whether it's your parents or your spouse, and it's part of life. Now, does that make you feel better necessarily? It makes you understand it better.
I think grief is the pain, the dull pain, you know, that will never go away, will never leave our hearts, is the price we pay for love. So in that sense, you're absolutely right. And that doesn't diminish, you know, with when someone passes away. So I always say that death ends a life. It doesn't end a relationship. That love continues, right? And so during the holidays, my guidance would be to celebrate love because our loved ones once live. They did not just die.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about the grieving process during the holidays. Did you know my name? If I saw you in heaven. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. We're talking about grief during the holidays, and we're here with Ida Pigott, who's going to be just explaining a little bit about what she does when she counsels people who are grieving during the holidays. I'm here also with Vic Cohen, who's co-hosting tonight.
Hey there. This has been really great. I was just curious, Ida. So my parents are, thank God, they're healthy, but I've since childhood been worried about them, and I'm just curious, you know, when people are alive who you love, are there things you can do that will make the grieving process down the road easier? So in other words, like I spend as much time with my family, my parents as possible, so that one day, if that were to happen, which it statistically is likely, I will know that I won't look back and feel like, oh, I didn't do enough, I didn't spend enough time.
I think that's a very thoughtful approach, Vic. I think that's a very sensitive approach. I also want to add that emotions are very hard to anticipate. And but what I hear you say, Vic, is that it would probably, you know, release you from feeling a lot of guilt because you have done all that you could for your parents.
Yeah, and yes, and that I savored every minute.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you do hear that quite a bit when you have somebody who maybe doesn't treat their parents very well or doesn't keep in contact. When that person dies, they feel horrendous guilt about what they did or didn't do. And, you know, that's not to say you're nice to your parents because you don't want to feel guilt because you want to
no,
do it.
No, it is. That's all it is.
Well, that's
not
a Jewish
true.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's a Jewish
no, thing. No, it's not true. I do it because I love them. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you do it because you love them. But I do hear that and see that, and it can tear people up. Even mm-hmm. just little things that they forgot to do, they dwell on those, right, on those guilty thoughts about they should have done this, they should have made that one last stop.
Yeah, and guilt is one of those that you say can tear people apart, even when they have done enough in some cases.
Sure.
Because guilt is not about, really, about doing enough or not doing enough. But in these cases where death is involved, it's about wishing to do more. And the opportunity to do more is not there anymore because death robs us of that opportunity.
That's right. We have a texter from Urbana who says, grief comes and goes as it will. Check out On Death and Dying and DABDA by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. However, grief isn't always associated with death. Now I've lost parents and a sister, Tim from Urbana. So are there, speaking of books, do you recommend those books, or are there any books for people out there who might find reading something about this helpful?
I don't have a particular recommendation. I have a few websites that I like to share with people.
Okay.
Initially, when I started to do grief work, my work was informed by Dr. Ellen Wolfelt. And
can you spell that? I'm just curious.
W-O-L-F-E-L-T.
Okay, and she writes about grief.
And it's a he, actually.
A he?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pretty prominent name in the field of.
You know what we're going to do? Let's post that on our website. Okay. Instead of you giving it out, we'll have Ben post it so everyone can see it. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Yeah. But I want to encourage people to actually drop down into their hearts and feel their emotion, because processing pain is a very important task of grieving, and intellectualizing, which is reading books or articles on it, is nice and you can get information, but intellectualization is also a defense from feeling emotions.
Oh, interesting.
So one of the things that I would encourage people to do is drop into their hearts, process that sadness, that anger, that rage, you know, that guilt, that hopelessness, loneliness, and all kinds of emotion that comes in waves when one is grieving.
And, you know, that's, I'm going to inject a little bit of my own experience, and Jerry, I'm going to have you weigh in here too. I think one of the things that I did looking back to that really bad time, you know, it's grieving is always, is still going on with losses of my parents and my spouse, but I that horrible time, that first 6 months, that first year, I remember what I would do is I would go to work, I'd get up every day, I'd exercise, I'd be healthy, I would do a whole full day of work, and then I'd go home and I'd spend an hour grieving. And I would cry, and I would do whatever I needed to do in a room by myself, and then I would be done with it. You know, and I'd say, I'm going to do this again tomorrow. Or sometimes on the weekend, when I had a lot of time, I'd just sit and I'd just face it, because during the day I didn't have the time to do it, and I knew that I needed to just kind of get away from it, because wallowing in it, to me, really brought me down and made me unhealthy and made me sick, physically sick. So that sort of worked for me. I don't know, is that a plan that you hear people use?
Yeah, and what I've heard is this oscillation, right, between still taking care of the activities of daily living, like what would still bring you pleasure, and I'm happy that you could do that, while at the same time not neglecting or avoiding your grief. And I think when people do run into most significant problems down the road is when they don't do grief work, when grief is swept under the rug, when people busy themselves all the time, and the coping mechanism there is actually avoidance.
Yes. and then it comes out somewhere else in some other bad place,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, Jerry, I thought we'd weigh on to this because this is a topic that, we found very interesting, both having gone through having lost a spouse. People said, and this is switching topics a little bit, about how to help others go through the grieving process. So if you know someone who's lost a relative and you're sitting there, it's Christmas time, and you want to help them, what should you do? And Jerry and I shared a few things that people said to us that they did not mean to hurt us, but were kind of hurtful and maybe insensitive. What were some of those things, Jerry, we can talk about?
I think the worst one that people said to me all the time, and I'm guilty of saying this to people before I lost my wife, is they're in a better place. They're not in a better place. They're dead. Simple as that. Now, you may magically think, if you're religious, that they're somewhere in a better place. And,
but I'd wonder if that still helps if you're religious, because people said that to me and I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to say, no, he's not.
Right.
This place was just fine for all involved.
That's how I felt. Yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I was with my wife 40 years. It took, unlike your case where Greg, your husband, went to bed at night, in the morning he had passed away. My wife took 4 years to die, and I died with her a little bit every day. And at the end, when she was at peace, I wasn't. I had to go on. I had to move forward. And people actually said to me, wow, you're a really good man that you stayed with her during those 4 years while she was dying. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Why would you even say that to me?
But how about this one? You're still young enough so you can move forward. And tell me when you're dating again, because I can set you up with people.
Yeah.
I got that right from the beginning. And I'm telling you, maybe they think, okay, you know, I'll help her. This is my way of helping her. But boy, did I take offense to that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sure you've heard all these different stories from people and from that you're counseling. But what should you do for somebody who is grieving, who have lost a loved one?
Ask them. Your loved ones is at a better place, and for you, Jerry, the better place would be if she's still in your arms.
Exactly.
And alive. I would say ask, where do you imagine your loved ones is right now? You know, because death overturns a lot of our assumptions, you know, and also our beliefs. You know, and sometimes it validates it. You know, for example, people who once believed in God are no longer believers because they had to bury a child.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And sometimes our assumptions is validated. You know, I have clients who tell me that my mom just passed away and that's why I'm here, but she lived a long life, like she should have. She lived up to 92 years old.
Yeah. Ada, can you give us out your contact information? I have to go right now and take a break and come back and answer legal questions. How can people contact you?
They can visit our website at www.beverlytherapist.com. That's Beverly therapist with a plural .com.
Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you helped some people here during the holidays.
Thank you, Karen.